The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, welcome to the juicy bit. It's the debrief. We're going to look back on some of the biggest stories of the week. And I'm joined by the BBC Dublin correspondent, Gabia Galitz-Gaitha. We have political editor with the Irish Daily Mail, Craig Hughes, and chairman of the communications clinic, Terry Prone. And you're all welcome. We're going to start with Donald Trump, because we're fascinated by this clip today. He told reporters at the White House that he's not sure if he's going to go to Don Trump Jr.'s wedding. He's getting married to Bettina Anderson. Don is his son. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Attending your son's wedding this weekend, by the way?
He'd like me to go, but it's going to be just a small little private affair, and I'm going to try and make it. I'm in the midst. I said, you know, this is not good timing for me. I have a thing called Iran and other things. That's one I can't win on. If I do attend, I get killed. If I don't attend, I get killed. By the fake news, of course, I'm talking about. No, but he's got a very person who I've known for a long time, and hopefully they're going to have a great marriage.
Gabby is defending Donald Trump here beside
and
me.
I think what? You know I'm right, Claire.
What?
Because he just says he's got a very person that I've known for a long time. Like, I think he's talking about the partner, the bride, Bettina.
See, what we hear is that Donald Trump is saying, I know my son for a long time.
I don't think he's talking about the son. I think he's talking about the partner.
Terry?
I think that this is a problem. There's a fascinating thing in the New Yorker this week with Obama. And Obama says that he has stopped commenting on things that Trump says, because he says that Trump has succeeded in turning the whole world into a commentator on him. And that this is, Obama doesn't say it, but this is just another example that us grown-ups in a national broadcaster are actually discussing whether he's barking on about his prospective daughter-in-law or his son.
Yeah, but I like it still. I like it. I don't care what Barack Obama says. I am enjoying this and I'm going to keep going. Craig.
Yeah, well, I think it's another great gift from Donald Trump, despite all the horrendous things that are associated with him. He's nonstop for the comedic lines and he never misses a beat.
He's box office, isn't he? And he has been box office really since 2016. I mean, even since before he campaigning, the way he says things, the way he speaks about different issues. If you ask him a question he doesn't know, he'll go, I don't know, I'm not aware of that. Like, there is a level of perceived honesty, I think, to it. And even the way he's clearly airing some sort of family beef, like, surely you would want to
There's
go
something
to your
going
son's
on.
Wedding.
There's definitely
but
something
he's very
going on.
Honest and he's not mincing his words. And I think, to some degree, that's what a lot of Americans like about him. Of course, when you look at his policies and so on, many would disagree. But I think that is what the average person, when they go to the ballot box and they vote for Trump, that's what they like about him.
But did he really say that he knows his son for a long period of time? Can we just hear that little bit again, Helena? Just
no, but he's got a very person who I've known for a long time, and hopefully they're going to have a great marriage.
Do you know what I think?
He's got a very...
Yeah, I think he sounds like he's caught on the hop. He's not going because something going on between the two of them. I've invented all of this. I've invented a row between Don Sr. and Don Jr. Maybe it's about the wife.
Claire, you are actually drunk on impending sunshine. There can be no doubt about this.
We won't solve it here. It sounds to me like he's not going. Right, let's get on to the big news of the week. So we spent quite a lot of time during the week speaking about that line that emerged that there have been more evictions in Ireland in recent times than there have been since the famine. Then the next day, we heard about rent increases, which have increased at a higher rate than they ever have during the period of time that DAF.ie have been doing surveys on this since 2002. This is the absolute bête noire, isn't it, Craig, of this government?
Yes, and it's going to follow them for a long time. The changes that they introduced in regards to the rental market meant that when a new tenancy is created, a new tenancy can be reset at market rent. So they were warned that this would be an incentive for people to evict their tenants to either sell up or to move on. And I suppose the interesting thing is that actual tenancies in the rental market have increased by about 2.4% year on year. So the rental market is still attractive. So those rental properties are being snapped up. And I think what we're going to see is a lot of churn in the market, because you're going to have this people moving out and bigger players coming in and staying there. But the problem that the government has is that it's going to lead to inflated rents for people who are on kind of good deals already. And their only hope is that it stimulates the market enough to create further investment in it, because they think there isn't enough there already. But they're not going to be able to resolve themselves from the fact that their constituents, their voters, are going to be seeing higher rents throughout the lifetime of the
government. And like the government keeps telling us that is what is going to happen, that there will be a change, and change is coming, and supply is coming on stream. But this needs to turn at some point, Terry, for political reasons for this government.
And it's that urge to turn it. The fact is that this is a huge, simple problem. We don't have enough houses. We don't have enough affordable houses. They have to come on stream. I come through a huge building site on my way here. It's probably the biggest in Ireland at the moment. They're building, but it isn't fast enough. And there are human beings who are having their lives completely skewed by that. The end result is that, and this is not confined to government, it's opposition as well, there's a huge desire all of the time to come up with some tinkering at the edges that will improve things. And so far, none of that tinker. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was build a shed in your front garden, you know, but none of the tinkering at the edges is actually delivering to the people who are suffering the belief that their suffering is going to be changed or ameliorated.
Now, they would say that record investment in housing and being at the very top of the priority list, that is not tinkering, but it's a timeline problem. The problem is people aren't buying that anymore, because with every 3 month period that goes by, we get worse, you know, more dire figures.
But it is the reality that people, like landlords, have said they've seen these new rules coming in and they said, right, I'm not a big fan of these new rules. I'm going to get rid of my tenant. I mean, I can even tell you anecdotally the amount of my friends that's happened to. Like, it's happening all the time. I think the issue for
Fianna Fáil... So what's the landlords are not happy with the 6 year tenancy?
Yes, and they're saying, I'm not a fan of these rent controls. The market is good now. I might sell the house. I'm going to get rid of the tenant. That, of course, does mean that house is going onto the market and a first time buyer, for example, can buy it. I think the issue for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is that consecutive governments and promises of, we're going to turn this around, we're going to make this better, and it's the same promises over and over, and it's not really washing with the public anymore. But then when you look at the ballots and when you look at the elections that we have coming up this weekend, or perhaps even a couple of years' time, or even 2 years ago, I mean, the result is kind of the same. So I think the interesting point there is, who is it really affecting? How much is it affecting people? And why aren't people voting differently?
Yeah, but I think the problem isn't, so when you say landlords are leaving the market, the rental sector still isn't getting smaller though, because they're actually being replaced and it's gone up 2.4% in terms of the actual capacity in the sector. The problem is, if you're in a rental property at the moment and you're on a good deal, the landlord doesn't want you to stay in that deal. So they'll go, oh look, we'll sell it. They'll buy it. Some other fund might take it up, but they can then immediately charge the higher rent. It's that government policy shift that has led to those evictions. And that's the no. And when we talk about it turning a corner, well, I'm sad to say that it doesn't look like on current trends that's going to happen. We'll probably get to close to 40,000 homes this year, but the supply pipeline for 27 is actually lower. Uh-huh. So I can't see this government getting to 50,000 homes in any year, which is supposed to be their yearly average, by the end of their time in office.
We had Peter Chapclear on the programme this week. He is one of the TDs pushing for this tax break for gym membership and also for club memberships for children. So you get a bit of tax back on your GAA fees or your dance class fees or so on. And we had lots of people get in touch with us about this. Plenty of people support it, but a large number of people saying, how do we have 70 million euro to do this when people can't afford to pay for the groceries in the supermarket?
Well, I think that's the point. And I think this has been raised by Fianna Fáil backbenchers for years and years and years, especially some of them that are more active. I think I remember writing stories about Malcolm Byrne pushing for something very similar. I think the question there is, does this incentivize people to go to the gym, or does it just give a little bit of money back to the people who are already paying for a gym membership every single year and who can afford to do so? Because it's not very cheap. I mean, you can pay 400 euro on the lower end, but you can pay hundreds of euro a month for a very nice bougie gym, if you're entertaining me, Claire.
Sauna and outdoor area and all that
lovely
stuff.
Lovely Dyson hairdryer and all the rest. So does it push people to go to the gym, or does it just give a little bit of money back to those that don't really need it?
Because you'd have to pay up front and pay it back at the end of the year. It'd be like your medical expenses. So you still have to have the money to put the money in the first place. What do you think, Terry?
I think that the government and anybody in politics who is not pushing rewards, incentives, whatever, in the exercise area needs their head looked at. I have to tell you, Claire, that I have spent my very long life committed to the avoidance of exercise at all costs. I avoided it in school because I had asthma. I avoided it right throughout my adulthood. And then this week I had Dr. Dermot O'Shea on our podcast called Grey Matters. He's the head of the RCPI. He's a geriatrician. And he basically said, if you're old and you don't want to get dead or demented, you need to exercise.
And so did you go out and run the roads then?
I went and I bought weighted vests that practically crush me to my knees when I try to stand up. I have free weights. I have weights that I can put around my ankles. I am utterly committed, Claire, I promise you.
All of this week you bought these things?
Well, I had bought the weighted vests about a week ago.
Right.
And Donald Trump is another man who's committed his life not to exercise, and famously so. He says, I don't believe in it, you know, I don't want to move as less as possible. So,
what do you think of the... Are you in a gym?
Yeah, I am, yeah. And I think it's like 40 quid a month or something.
You'd like some money back on that, I'm sure.
I think the government is talking about income tax reforms. I think personally I'd prefer to see it in my pay packet each week and have to wait till the end of the year and when I'm doing my income tax or doing my tax returns.
But does Craig need the tax break is the question.
Of course I do.
We were talking about sunbeds as well this week. We had a great discussion on this because the Department of Health is seeking advice from the European Commission around banning sunbeds. Heated discussion with two representatives from the sunbed organisation, one of whom said it's like cigarettes. You can decide to go in and buy a pack of cigarettes and smoke your head off if you're an adult. And it's the same thing with sunbeds.
Yeah, except that Ireland managed to change the world about cigarettes. We did it. We, Micheál Martin, fair dues to him. It was on the front page of the New York Times that Ireland had banned smoking in the workplace because all of the research added up to, look, this is dangerous, this is killing people. Free will, fine, but you're not having your free will at my expense in the workplace, whether my workplace is a pub or an office. Similarly, this notion that sunbeds are an aspect of free will, no. Children being taken to sunbeds before they do their first Holy Communion, that's got shag all to do with free will.
Does that happen?
Is abuse.
But there is a ban on children using sunbeds. We're talking about changing it further. I mean, and there was a well-known person's sister was done for having a minor in the sunbed. So, I mean...
Relatively recently.
Yeah,
good point.
So, I think...
So the answer, Claire, is yes, they do. That was a huge thing. It's slightly less of a thing.
But you can still go and buy cigarettes. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about banning them for everybody. People will smoke cigarettes knowing that they are really bad for their health. Should they be allowed to use a sunbed, even though they know they're very bad for their health and could give them skin cancer?
It's more nanny statism in some way, though, isn't it, Terry, if you're just banning everything?
We're not talking about banning everything. We're talking about banning something that is proven to increase your level of skin cancer to an incredible extent. And when you get a melanoma and you're waiting to see, will you survive 5 years? I suspect that many people who use sunbeds would be looking back thinking, was that actually worth what I'm now suffering?
But that's their choice.
Well, I think, but do we ban then cigarettes and everything else that is carcinogenic too?
Why not? Yeah.
I would absolutely ban cigarettes. We have, in my company, we don't ever work with people who have anything to do with big tobacco, and that includes vapes.
Mm-hmm. You don't use sunbeds, Gabby, do you?
No, I don't. I've never had an interest in a sunbed. I can't put on fake tan because I look orange. I envy the women that are very good at it. My worry is that there is a generation of people who are younger than me who do like a sunbed because it does give them a nice healthy glow. Because we do hear a lot of, I mean, even listen to the dermatologist on your show. I mean, it's very clear what the medical opinion on this is. I don't know how I feel about banning things. I think people should have the option. But obviously when then you hear stories of children going in and saying, look, I'm a certain age when they're, I'm not. Like, that is obviously very worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what the legislation is, I guess, is supposed to be there for. And that's what the law is supposed to protect, people like that, you know, not being brought in by the parents.
And the contradiction in terms manifest by Gabby's thing of a healthy glow, when in fact you're doing two things.
They say a healthy glow.
Yeah. You're improving your chances of getting cancer, but more to the point, for women particularly, you're improving your chances of looking older faster.
Well, there's that too. We had the revelation on the programme this morning that Luke Fitzgerald, the former Irish international, his favourite ice cream is a white chocolate Magnum. Now, I think that's fine, you know, if you want to have a white chocolate Magnum, but it's just not a refreshing ice cream to eat, is it? Like on a hot day, is it going to help you?
I love an almond Magnum.
Do you?
Oh, I love
on a hot day, though. Does that not just make
you... I like a Solero as well on a hot day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. So we have lots of people getting in touch with us about the ice creams, right? And this is my favourite one. I was listening to Luke while I was driving through France. I had to pull over in the town of Blois to get a Solero in solidarity. Tim, we envy your life today. A Solero mixed berry or Tangle Twister for refreshment. Tangle Twister. They definitely make the cut, Craig, don't they?
Yes, well, I must compliment you on your such a loyal audience, Claire, that people are still tuning in while on their holidays in France. Oh, my God. Yes.
It's a Tangle Twister.
What is a Tangle Twister? You have not lived. We have to get you one. It kind of has raspberry in the middle and then lemon and lime twisting on the outside. The lemon is ice cream and the lime is like an ice pop. It's delicious.
It's such a shame that all of your listeners haven't seen the miming that went into this. I can see it. I can taste it.
Another one that's underrated is a loop-de-loop.
Calippo and orange Calippo. I like one of them now when the sun's out. But hold on. Magnums are on the elite level of ice cream. A 99, surely, is the ultimate.
I think a Magnum is a great luxury product, right?
Yes.
Really nice if you're maybe watching a movie or something at home. If it's a hot day and you're looking for something refreshing, you've got to go for fruity ice cream.
Okay. I mean, I did not come in here to be bullied by a presenter about the kind of ultimate.
What would you have, Terry?
I'll tell you what I like. I do a lot of training in Rome. And on one of the days that I'm training, I go out for a walk and I go to the, I'm not going to even pronounce it, the ice cream shop. And they have a thing called stracciatella.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
And it's to die for. It's just to die for. On a hot day and all.
Someone get her a Tangle Twister in the name of God. Right, we leave it there. Thank you so much for listening to the programme. Have a lovely weekend and enjoy the sunshine. God, I hope we get it. We've gone on about it so much today. Huge thanks to the team. Cormac McDonagh on sound. Producers Helena O'Toole, Alex Russo and David O'Connor did research along with Dylan Hand and Shanna Cole. Our broadcast assistant is Marie Kane, and our editor is Denise McNamara. Talk to you on Monday.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.